Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It feels like there are a few things that we can all agree about with this Dallas Cowboys team. And one of them is the offense has to be nearly perfect to win. Fair?
Yep.
Now.
Did I say yep?
You did. Now, what exactly does that look like? Is it a certain amount of points? Because if it is right now, the Cowboys are averaging 29.7 points per game, which is fourth in the league. You might think that the Cowboys are in a position where they have to be first in the league in offense. I'm not sure about that, but I wanted to know first, do y'all have a point threshold, or do you think the Cowboys have to have the top scoring offense in the league?
I don't have a point threshold. I do, though, think that what my reasoning is does kind of associate itself with having to be the top scoring team in the league.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why in a minute.
Okay.
When you ask.
Okay. Now's the Nicely. Time where I say, can you tell us why that is?
Please. Yes, I can, Kevin.
I appreciate that. Will you?
I will.
Okay.
They can't punt three times or turn the ball over offensively.
At all?
No.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
They Kevin, the two of the games that I think we've discussed, fumbles from the running back position, one I think was turned, the Philadelphia game, I think, was turned in that moment.
Agreed.
The Miles Sanders
agreed.
Fumble. I agree with you also on the early Javonte Williams fumble in Chicago set a bad tone.
Yeah.
Because you were working your way to something. You had a great run.
Right.
You're about to establish the tone. And maybe if you're up like that early, they aren't thinking, you know, we're going to take these same shots. Maybe your defense is a little better.
Yeah, and I'll concede that maybe that's not what would have happened, and maybe you'd have gotten run into the ground either way. But sure would have helped.
And so that's the turnover part of it. Dak has been very clean throwing the ball. He is in these three games that – He's scored three touchdowns, no interceptions, and they've still lost.
Yeah.
Problematic, but he's not turning the ball over. So you kind of, and I think that's probably in his mind, I can't turn the ball over. I have to make these throws. But then the part of punting three times, I know you're like, hold on, teams punt. This team can't afford it.
Well, and I
defensively,
think,
they cannot afford it.
But I think that's the whole idea of this segment, right? Is we have to throw all conventional offensive, you know, notions out the window because they're not going
to
work.
And your mindset has to be, and I understand also, your mindset has to be, we have to score every time we touch the ball. And I know that's what your goal is ultimately. Like, oh, everybody wants to win the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Everybody wants to win the World Series. That's your goal. Your mindset literally has to be, I have no other option. We have to figure out ways for us to get across the goal line or score points. I'm fine settling for field goals. Not every time.
But okay.
Three is better than punt. But Kevin, I also understand not going for it on fourth down because you don't trust your defense to, if you're in bad field position. If you're at like the 45 and you're like, I would really go for it, but my defense might give up 60 yards here.
Okay. Have the new kickoff rules and the fact that your defense stinks not change that perception then? Like, did you say our 45 or the opponent's 45?
Their 45.
Okay. I think at that point, I want to know with you guys, what's the threshold maybe where you're like, we're going for it? Now, I realize all of this is game dependent. So these are abstract conversations.
I'm very Dan Campbell.
Okay, go for
it. I'm very much in the mind of Dan. I have four downs. I might as well use them.
All right. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because if you get the touchback now without the ball hitting in the landing zone, you get the ball all the way up at the 35. And so I realize that Brandon Aubrey has done a good job at that, but, and maybe pushing you down back to the 20, but the average starting position is closer to the 30 right now. And if you get that not in the landing zone touchback, it's a 35, which means to me, if I'm like, all right, we're sacrificing what, 15 to 20 yards of field position, but it gives me a chance to still score, I'm going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no part of me that thinks 50 yards, our defense can't stop, but 65, we could.
Good point.
If it was 80, then I'm like, okay,
well,
maybe.
Hell, and you're right, too, because the way the field goal kicking is going, 65 yards might not even be the
right.
It might just be 15.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like you need seven every time you go down, you touch the football. And Alec brought up yesterday how we discussed how important Kevontae Turpin is in that kicking game. I mean, you saw it. We discussed that, too. He gives you really good field position on times that you don't expect it, or you didn't think you needed it. Now here you are, or times when you need it the most. So yeah, Kevin, I think that you can't punt three times and you can't turn the football over. That's what I mean by when you ask that question.
Is there a touchdown to field goal ratio that you think you have to achieve? Like, let's say you're scoring on
three
these possessions. Okay, that was the, man, that is exactly the one that I had in my mind. And again, it's a different deal if you're in a game and it's 27 to 25. I'm not going to go, well, you better score a touchdown with 2 seconds left, because that's what the formula says. Like, obviously, it's game dependent, but 3-1 is what I was thinking.
I would prefer three touchdowns to one field goal every single, and every coach probably feels the same way. Yeah, of course I'd like touchdowns. Yes, but this team has to think in a mentality of what are the ways that we can get seven rather than three. And as we discussed, going for it, using all four downs, planning your runs that way. I think that Dan Campbell's probably saying, look, I have four downs. If I can't get 10 yards and four downs, we have a big problem. And I think that's why the team's approach, their mentality is we're getting the first down. And so that's where I am, is I'm trying to push to my guys. Our mentality is we'll get 10 yards. We want to get 50.
Right.
We'd love a 50-yard play from you. But in four plays, we're going to create some things that are going to get us to move the chains to the next place so we can get closer to the goal line so we can score a touchdown.
From the 817, we got to score at least 30-plus points to have a shot. And then from the 806, and this is true, Cowboys finished regulation with 37 points twice this season, and that wasn't enough to win. I am also in the camp that I think every time you score 37 points, you should win. I realize, like, that's not statistically what the NFL says, but I will go into every game. If the Cowboys score 37 points, I think that we should win. It's unfortunate that we are now having to have this conversation. From the 580, Tony Romo knew how to keep a bad defense fresh and off the field. That is always a tricky dynamic, though, right? Because... so how would you have accomplished that in this last game? By running the ball, right? Like that was something that I think it's Greg Olsen said in the last game. A good pass is always going to be better than a good run. At least that's what the numbers would bear out. So you're going to go slower down the field in theory if you continue to run the ball. Well, you couldn't run the ball at all this last week. Even though they had gaudy stats against the Jets, if you go back, there were people in the Cowboys building that were not thrilled.
Oh, their offensive line got pushed around.
And they were not thrilled with the way the running game was impacted because of that. So how do you slow down the scoring if all of a sudden you have run into an issue running the ball offensively? That is a challenging question to answer.
Yeah, I will say I'm confident that Schottenheimer will figure out and Clayton Adams will figure out a better plan this week. But they said it mostly all after the game, the physicality from their offensive line. Tyler Smith said that. And I don't think Tyler Smith, I'm hopeful that the leader of that offensive line will not accept the performance he and right. that offensive line put out there.
And it doesn't feel like he just says things to talk.
Nope.
You know, so I put a lot of stock in that. All right. So then do you need to reach a certain threshold of time of possession? Because That's going to help your time of possession. Being more physical, whether you think it translates to being able to run the ball better, pass protect better, or you think it's blow up the other team's run game better and force a punt, you are likely going to have better time possession if you're more physical.
Yeah, probably about 30 minutes. 30 minutes of time okay. possession is pretty, like, if I can get 34 is my
34?
Goal. 34 is okay. my goal. It's kind of like I was asked yesterday, Kevin, what is your goal with your dog? And I said, for him to walk around without being on a leash with me.
Oh, like,
I know yeah. that's a dream to have a dog that just walks next to you and is awesome. Sometimes it's unattainable. 34 would be my dream. Hell, the entire game, Kevin, I would like nothing but the turnovers and then get the ball back. And we have four. Every single minute is the Cowboys.
Yes.
But 34 would be an advantage Cowboys if they could do that for sure.
Okay. All right. Because hopefully that will help with the idea that you are scoring, like I said, 29.7 points per game, which is amazing. But you're also giving up 30.6 points per game, which I believe is second worst only to the Ravens.
And you're right. You don't have to just run the ball to control time of possession.
Not at all.
The Rams won a Super Bowl with Cooper Kupp getting, you know, every single little pass.
This is where you can throw those stupid little check down tosses to Javonte.
But they have to be for positive yards.
Yes.
They can't be for negative. You can't be, you know, going behind the line of scrimmage and dumping that off. You got to be able to get positive yards.
From the 469, is anyone, the players on the defense, even pissed off or embarrassed about it? I haven't seen it. I can definitely tell you Trayvon Diggs is, and Wanye Thomas, I believe, said he feels bad for the offense. Trayvon Diggs said, what is our identity? We don't have one because we're not good at anything. Yeah. That sounds pretty angry to me. Now, being angry versus being able to fix it, that is a whole different deal.
I'm really interested to know, Osa was pushed into the prime, it's time for you to be a leader guy.
Right.
Do you remember him telling us, was he like, I'm going to lead by example?
I think
whenever we talked with him. He got a lot of double teams this week.
Yes.
And struggled with that. I wonder where his frustration level is and how vocal he is about that in the locker room.
And that's the tough balance, right? Because if you're Osa, you always have to say, if you're going to tell people, like if we did the show and I'm like, Corey, you got to be better. Alec, you got to be better. Then I damn sure better say I have to be better as well. So I wonder if Osa, as part of that discussion, is like, hey, I'm going to work on handling these double teams better. But Kenny Clark,
if I'm getting double and you're not winning, we got a problem.
Exactly. And look, I want to go back to a couple texts that we just got. We talked about this at the very beginning of the show. If you listen to Jerry Jones this morning, if you listen to Stephen Jones yesterday, they're not firing Matt Eberflus. And that's why we've had conversations about what can be done on the defense. That's why we're having this conversation about what does the offense actually have to do.
Sometimes I think we follow it so closely that we ignore things that we can't control.
True.
Or can't, like,
that
don't
is
discuss
true.
Things we can't. Get done.
And so I don't want to dismiss that person's idea of firing Matt Eberflus. I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen.
As a matter of fact, Kevin, I believe I'm just looking at Twitter right now. Mashoda, Clarence Hill, all the writers. It looks like Jerry just spoke at a I'm going to say symposium or a conference of some sort, or maybe a sales meeting. And it looks like a lot of media were around. And he said, I got a lot of confidence in Matt Eberflus.
So there you go. So here's the game plan. And man, this sounds like a lot. Feels like you need to continue to score at least 30 points a game. Ideally have possession of the ball 34 minutes per game. When you do score at a ratio of 3 touchdowns to 1 field goal. You can't punt the ball in 3 times in a game.
Again,
that is a lot.
It's a lot to ask.
And don't turn the ball over.
But because you're having to make up for this defense. Go listen to Brad Sham at the end of the game. And he was just like, every time the Cowboys touch the ball, they must score. Because you're getting shredded for 6, 8, 10 yards every time Rico Dowdle touches the ball.
Right, right.
That can't happen again.
Right. And, you know, somebody asked from the 405, do you think Diggs said that because he doesn't have his friend there anymore?
I think he's ticked off at how there are plays, the Rico Dowdle touchdown specifically, where there is a receiver that is not there isn't a player within 20 yards of him. And I think Trayvon Diggs is saying, how in the F did that happen? I'm over here on the other side of the field with nobody to cover.
Yeah, and I think it's frustrating because the defense is so bad, but I also think Trayvon Diggs is frustrated because he can't do
what he usually,
physically
yeah. I think that too.
What he usually is able to do. And that has got to be, that's got to be irritating, because I bet he goes back and looks at plays and he's like, in theory, I broke that pass up or I made that interception. He was like, optimum me could have done that. And then you have to look at it and go, but I'm not. So there you go. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's move into the lunch rush and the expressway. We got NFL overreaction or reality, plus the Tuesday tailgate. A&M and Tech continue to stack up wins. Indiana's a football school, and the butt interception. Next on The Fan.
Carolina Blue, a little play fake. Young has got all day deep down the left side. There's nobody around the receiver at the 15-yard line, and that is... That is Jimmy Horn, the speedster from Colorado, and a completely blown coverage on that side. And the Dallas defense continues to be absolutely nightmarish.
KNC Masterpiece, whoo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got NFL overreaction right now. Tuesday tailgate coming up in just a few minutes. But also, my new favorite moment of the day off air, when Carter was describing the new Tron movie, and he said a movie, and Corey defiantly yelled out, "I have seen Morbius!"
It wasn't good. guys, I didn't want to point out, my apologies. Jerry Jones was speaking to the media after the Shriners Children's Group introduction for the 101st East-West Shrine Bowl to be played at the Star in Frisco on January 27th. So that's why he was speaking to media.
Hey. Do you know who's going to be inducted into the East-West Shrine Hall of Fame?
I know this. There are two people standing next around him. One is Jane Slater.
Mm.
Jane Ashley Slater, I think her middle name.
Oh.
The other one is Daryl Moose Johnston.
He'll be on the show tomorrow.
In your face.
As long as Mickey plays ball. I'm just kidding.
You think Mickey will say, hey, I want to be on with Moose?
Oh, that would be fun. We'll figure that out. All right. NFL overreaction or reality, the Dallas Cowboys prove they aren't even close to being a playoff team.
As of right now, they aren't. They played the worst quarterback in the league by all numbers, and he was good.
Yeah.
The running game that they knew would be good beat them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they couldn't do anything else. They couldn't do offensively what they really needed to do. At the moment, they are not constructed to be a playoff team.
Alec, what say you?
Yeah, not even close. It's a reality. And it's unfortunate because after Philly, even though you walked away with an L, I felt like this team could make a sneaky push.
Yeah.
But then it hit me quickly. That was just the element of surprise that Shoddy had talked about all offseason, where, hey, totally new staff. I've got all the clubs still in the bag. I don't have to show you anything. And he didn't. And it caught Philly off guard, and good for them. But now the rest of the NFL has tape, and the tape isn't very good.
Don't you hate whenever you catch somebody off guard, you catch them by surprise and still lose?
Yes. Yes. Not that that would ever happen with this team. All right, overreaction or reality? Oof, I would not have thought this question 2 weeks ago. Rico Dowdle is a top five running back.
Oh, man. I think that's an overreaction right now.
Okay.
He's played like it against two bad defenses.
True.
But I think he's a top 10 running back. And I thought that last year. I thought he was pretty good last year. He's finding the end zone a lot more, too, right now. So, but not yet.
He's averaging 5.8 yards per carry.
Okay, I get it, Kevin. Most of those were against us.
And the team before.
And the team before that, too. Jonathan Taylor, however, averaging 5.2. And he's number one.
Okay.
James Cook, 5, number two. Bijan, 5.8, number three. Javonte Williams. Crap, he's the top five running back, Kevin.
Oh.
He's the top five running back.
Bonus question.
Yeah.
Alec, and you can answer both of these as well.
Oh, no.
You would rather have Rico Dowdle right now than Javonte Williams.
I hate both of those questions. I really do.
That's the point of this
segment. Overreaction, okay. Kevin.
Okay.
Rico Dowdle has 2 touchdowns. Javonte has 5.
Mm, okay. The counting numbers.
I like it.
I'm going to go... reality to the first one, just because the numbers are going to say that he probably is. And
boom,
if the Panthers have any kind of credibility offensively, they're going to see how well he's done and keep pushing him as a number one back and keep giving him those snaps. So if you keep leaning on that run game and involve him in the pass game like you saw on Sunday, yes, he will be. He will continue to be.
He's better than Hubbard.
Yeah, well... sure. I mean, my fantasy team just cried when you said that.
I'm sorry.
Would I take him over Javonte? No. The touchdowns are great. I like that point, Corey. I'm a big counting numbers guy. Not a big math guy, but I like the counting numbers. I wouldn't take him just because I feel like Javonte, there's more purpose behind his runs, it seems. He's got a lot more to prove, and he seems a lot angrier. I know Dowdle played this tough guy act going into the game, that he was disrespected by the Cowboys or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, you signed a $2 million deal with another team. I don't think we were the only team disrespecting you. Javonte, I feel like he's still got time left on his calendar to say, I am a number one running back in this league, and I'm trying to prove that. And I like the mentality that he's playing with right now. It's nothing you can measure, but I like it.
Now... this is my new favorite overreaction or reality question. Overreaction or reality, Cam Ward is now the best quote in the NFL. Now, if you remember a couple weeks ago, he said, if I'm keeping it a buck right now, we ass.
Mm-hmm.
His new quote, I'm not playing how I want to play right now. So once I play how I want to play, I think the league will be effed. Overreaction or reality, Cam Ward is the new best quote in the NFL. That's an amazing quote.
I mean, I don't know, Kevin. Rico Dowdle said they better buckle up and then said they wasn't buckled up.
And by the way, in the pregame, you heard Jerry Jones was like, oh, yeah, our players are afraid to even get on the field. And then that backfired pretty quick.
Because 1-2, they didn't buckle their shoes.
That's right. Then 3-4, they got knocked on the floor.
And then 5-6, you know.
They should have picked all the picks.
I heard Bobby say this morning that he thinks Cam, he is seeing a get you over or get you by Teddy Bridgewater quarterback in Cam Ward.
Well, he better look at that quote. Do I need to read it again? I'm not playing how I want to play, Alec. So once I play how I want to play, I think the league will be effed.
It's a reality, Kevin. He's the best quote in the NFL. I don't care.
Agreed.
Rico's was really tough. I can't lie. That was awesome. That was really, really good.
You back it up, too, yeah. Right?
And he backed it up. But Cam Ward is giving us quotes every single week. So just by sheer volume, I like the confidence, too. He's got a swagger about him. If we're being honest, he has no business having right now because of his team's record. But I like the brutal honesty. I'm not playing great right now. But when I do, oh, boy. Hey, buckle up.
Overreaction or reality, the move back to Tyler Guyton from Nate Thomas was a downgrade, especially in the run game.
I think reality right now I don't know how much more time Tyler Guyton's going to need. But the I understand he's a first round pick and you see the ceiling for him.
Right.
But right now, the two tackles on a playing field, one has an advantage. And that gives my team an advantage. I don't know why you wouldn't run that out there. It's sheer stubbornness to go with the other one.
Oh, whoa, Alec, what say you?
Kind of like that idea that it is sheer stubbornness, but I mean, it's a reality. I'm just trying to make sense of why it still happened. And, you know, Shoddy said, I don't believe in the idea of an injury costing you your job, which, to be fair, he was consistent about. Was it the right decision? Probably not. And with injuries, especially with an offensive lineman that we know is still developing and still isn't quite there yet, those reps matter. And the fact that he lost a full game's worth of reps, that's not good for him. He's going to need time to reacclimate and get back to where he was, which where he was still a place of needing improvement. So it's going to take time, and I do think that was short-sighted to say, yeah, just go ahead and give him his job back immediately.
I will concede this next question might be a stretch. Well, let's see what you guys think. Overreaction or reality? The Bills are wasting Josh Allen's prime.
Oh.
Maybe it wasn't as much of a waste.
I need to know more about this question.
All right. So,
because the Cowboys are wasting Dak's prime.
I agree.
Dak's prime is right now.
Now, for the Bills, I think you could look at the pressure that the Falcons were able to bring against Josh Allen, and that is directly correlated to them losing that game yesterday.
And it happened with the Patriots last week, too.
Exactly. And so now, look, it's six games. I get it. But you're tied with the Patriots, who are breaking in a brand new quarterback. And it feels like you were in the midst of, you talked about how this is Dak's prime. It feels like you were in the midst of acknowledging that Josh Allen is at worst the third best quarterback in the league. And that is a big at worst. Mm-hmm. And plenty of people probably think he's the best quarterback in the league. And here you are sitting tied with the Patriots.
It's the thing I've always felt is I've always felt like Josh Allen at times single-handedly carried that team.
Agreed.
Then there were other times that I looked around and I was like, man, they're a really stacked defense. They got a really good run game. Their offensive line is good. Their offensive line has not looked good lately. I'm going to say reality.
Oh.
But I think that's on the entire team and Josh Allen included. He's got to be part of that too.
Alec, overreaction.
I hope I don't get fired by my team for that, for saying that my quarterback also has to not be terrible, like Brian Callahan said.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that's fair, and I think Dak would agree with that as well. Alec, overreaction, reality. The Bills are wasting Josh Allen's prime.
It's a reality. They are, because right now, look at the picture of the AFC. It's evolving. It's starting to change a little bit. The Kansas City Chiefs are coming back down to earth. The Denver Broncos on the rise. You start looking at some of these other teams, like you mentioned the Patriots. The Patriots are a very quietly, consistently good team now. Like, they look like a well-rounded team with a head coach that knows what they're doing. And hey, I might even take a little bit of a Fred Davis spin on it. You know, his whole method that
let's call it what it is.
Yeah, call it what it is. If there's a quarterback,
you guys are mean.
If there's a quarterback that has a wedding ring on while he plays, he doesn't trust him. Well, think about this. Josh Allen said that, I want to say it was after the game, maybe before the game yesterday, he was talking to reporters. Somebody asked him what's the biggest thing he's learned since being with Haley Steinfeld. And he said something along the lines of, I'm more than just a football player. His hunger is gone.
Have you
I don't
seen
believe
that?
In him anymore. The hunger's gone.
Wow.
Have you seen that Pizza Hut commercial, though, where he can't not say hut hut? Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious.
That is good.
All right. One more for you.
He's a good actor, dude. I'm just saying.
NFL overreaction or reality? You are happy to see that Micah Parsons doesn't draw flags for holding calls with the Packers either.
Matt LaFleur. First.
I know. But Matt LaFleur, he is already, they're only five games in, and he's already like, it's ridiculous. They're missing these egregious holding calls. So overreaction or reality, you are good to see. You are glad to see that that part is translated.
Overreaction.
Ooh.
And obviously I wished it had been here too, I honestly think that that dude could have the record every year. I really do, because there have been holding call. If they called it, they wouldn't. He would have more free opportunities.
Yeah,
and I want to see the like a dude do something special like that. Now, that being said,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sure there was holding back in Strahan's day too, and Joey Bosa's day. Well, Joey Bosa's or you know, Nick Bosa, yeah. Or T.J. Watt. My oh my gosh, they're all brothers. Everybody's a brother. I feel like he might have like 30 though. You know, like he's been that kind of guy. So I'm just saying that's my overreaction.
Alec. Everybody's. Overreaction or reality, you are glad to see that Micah Parsons doesn't get holding calls in Green Bay either.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of evergreen statements, and I'm glad that it's being consistent throughout the league. And it's just really fun because I'm seeing the absolute meltdown of Packers fans now on social media that either one, are complaining about the lack of holding calls, two, complaining about him kind of going off and doing his own solo missions on some plays and not really doing what he's supposed to and giving up yardage. So, yeah, I'm just glad that people are seeing the things that we've been complaining about. We weren't making it up.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of you. Thank you for acknowledging.
There you go. NFL overreaction or reality. We will pick that up tomorrow as well. Although, that is a drop from one Corey Majors that I want to hear until the end of time. In the meantime, I'm sorry about this, guys, but it has to happen. Will you go ahead and give me cut number 11, please, good sir?
Has the snap and the kick is away. A good punt. Niblett settles under at the Texas 25, turns upfield to the 30, to the 40. Ryan Niblett to midfield. Niblett down the sidelines to the 40, to the 30. Say goodnight to this one. Ryan Niblett, a 75-yard punt return for a Longhorn touchdown.
Sounds like he took a bite out of it instead of a niblet.
Yeah, it is tough
just
to
like
sound,
a real brother would.
Yeah, to sound terrifying when it's like, here comes niblet. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay. So it's time for the Tuesday tailgate. We bring in Carter Freeman. And Carter, I know that loss was tough, but how much did you feel for Mr. Corey Majors this weekend as on Friday, UNT gets crushed? On Saturday, Oklahoma loses, and then on Sunday, the Cowboys lose. It felt like
also my fantasy team lost for the first time this year. So
it felt like the worst possible scenario football-wise for him.
You know what? We have these weekends, and we just gotta rebuild. You know, it's one week at a time. We just gotta execute better. Mm. And at the end of the day, hats off to UT because
they pay their players too.
They gotta get back to work.
They do. And look, Texas figured out. In the second half of that game, how OU's defense was playing, and they adjusted their offense, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Because as an OU fan watching this, like, it was definitely frustrating watching my team not score a touchdown in this game for the third time in 4 years. They haven't scored one since 2023.
That's remarkable.
That's just awesome. It's like the new Tron movie. It's like by the third one, it's not fun anymore. Let's figure this out and, you know, do better. But like I said about Texas is they didn't get a lot going in the first half. a lot of their struggles with Arch and their running game were coming to head against OU's defense. But as they came out in the second half, they got more push on their offensive line, which is a big talk coming into this game, was their offensive line was so flimsy. They got push on the front. Like, OU's defensive line wasn't getting any pressure, which allowed them to start running the ball, which then they had a stretch there. I think the 7 or 8 minute drive to begin the third quarter for Texas, they converted, I think, 6 or 7 straight third downs.
Wow.
So OU was getting them in those positions and then just getting backbreaking.
You're going to lose those games.
And then the fumble farting around that OU did at the end of the second half with the clock, and they could have kicked an extra field goal. It was just more of the same from Venables, OU's head coach, in this game particularly, where you've seen him struggle that you hadn't really seen outside of this game. So it's just really frustrating in a rivalry game to see all those things for OU come to a head again and yet another loss.
All right, so we've seen this before with Texas OU. You've seen it before in other conference matchups, Alabama and Georgia, Alabama and LSU immediately jump to mind. Is this game does not necessarily determine what your season will actually look like. Where does Oklahoma go from here, and where do you think Texas will go from here?
I will say I'm a little, and I was, as an OU fan, I always look at it as like a, you know, probably a little more scrutiny, but they do have some real concerns with that run game. They're one of the worst rushing teams in the Power Four, if not the worst. You saw it front and center at the Cotton Bowl on Saturday.
Miserable.
They don't get any push up front. They can't run up the middle. They can't run to the sides. If they do, it's because of a holding call, so it gets called back, right? So they have a lot of things on offense they need to figure out. And as far as Mateer goes, I think it was a mix of both. Maybe the thumb wasn't 100%. It definitely wasn't 100% because he had surgery 17 days before that game, right? But also, that was some of the gunslinger Mateer that you live and die with. And in this game, you definitely died with it with those three turnovers. But Texas didn't score off any of those turnovers. I do want to make that point, is OU's defense held tight once they did turn the ball over. It was just every other drive they ended up scoring on, right? With Texas, I still look at them as like a maybe 9-3 at best. Maybe 8-4. Like, I know they came to play in this game after an awful game at Florida, but you did still see for a half they couldn't run the ball. And Arch looked a lot of the same in the first half
of that
game. And they did, if they can figure out their offensive adjustments they made in the second half, maybe I'll be a little higher on them. But at the end of the day, they did only score 16 points on offense. Because you heard that touchdown from Niblett, that was on special teams, right? Yep. So OU only gave up 16 points in this game. They mostly held them to field goals.
After saying that, Arch Manning, is this one that gets people off his back for a little bit, though? He made some quality throws in this game that were big time, you know, kept the chains moving, kept the ball out of Oklahoma's hands.
And like, he didn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing to me, is Mateer made mistakes for OU and Arch played mistake-free football, especially on that drive to begin the third quarter for Texas when they held the ball for 7 or 8 minutes, converted all those third downs. That was impressive for Arch to live up to the moment, right? And again, Texas has to be that for a full game, because you're not always going to go up against an inept offense with a quarterback whose thumb is messed up, who can't run the ball,
right,
like OU.
You think so? do you think that this is going to keep people off of Arch Manning's back for a couple of weeks?
A couple of weeks. Because
not the season, though, you don't think this earned him?
I believe they get Kentucky and maybe Mississippi State next. I think those are two road games that Texas has.
And because I think one of the things is, I understand, when you beat your rival, like, that sets your season a lot of times. I don't think this Texas team is one of them that says, well, our goal was to come in and beat Oklahoma, and we accomplished that, so everything is good. This felt very much like a national championship or bust season for Texas.
So you're saying, you're saying November 28th is the big game where they host one.
You can say Super Aggies. Bowl.
They might play.
I can't.
The mighty, it's top four game. Texas A&M best start in 9 years, Aggies. Now, I asked you this off air. The Aggies are going to be without Le'Veon Moss. There was their primary running back. He also, when he got hurt last year, he's leading the SEC in rushing yards. This feels like one that hurts.
Oh, 100%, because Moss wasn't 100% to begin the season either, and then you saw his coming out party against Notre Dame where he's finally healthy, right? And he had gotten back to that form you saw last year, so this is a big loss, but Texas A&M has Amari Daniels, and they got Reuben Owens. And Reuben Owens had, I think, 150 rushing yards against Mississippi State, right? Former borderline five-star recruit. I think he was 4 stars on most of the rating sites whenever A&M signed him a couple years ago. But he's healthy, and he's shown that he can be a good complementary back. So now this is a good time for him to show that, hey, I can be the lead back as A&M goes on the road, right? You were telling me their next three games, are road games.
Because, I mean, obviously the biggest game they've had all year was on the road against Notre Dame. But their other 5 games were all home games.
Yep.
And so they have back-to-back-to-back road games against Arkansas, LSU, and Missouri. So this feels like it's going to be the defining stretch of the season for Texas A&M. I know that game against Texas very well could be a defining game, but A&M has a trend of faltering in the middle when you see big picture things and you don't even get there. I will say one thing about their defense I thought was incredibly impressive. Last 10 possessions of their win, they gave up 3 points.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
I assume they had the great success on third down, too.
Yes.
That's something that since SEC play began. A&M's defense has been rock solid on not allowing their opponents to convert on third down.
Now, the defense continues to be a big positive for Texas Tech. So they win 42-17. I know their quarterback exited with a leg injury. How are they looking on that front with Morton?
So he's day-to-day is okay. What I've read. And
so could be worse.
Could be much worse. I mean, it could end up being like Sam Leavitt at Arizona State, right? Where he ends up missing their road game at Utah, and Arizona State just gets absolutely waxed by the Utes. So he's day-to-day. When you saw Will Hammond come in against Kansas, their backup, he didn't have as much success as he did when they were on the road at Utah. So there's maybe a bit more concern there. But like you said, the defense, man. David Bailey and Romello Height rushing on either side, off the ends has been just absolutely phenomenal for them. David Bailey has like 8.5 sacks. I think he's close to leading the country, if not leading the country, in pressures this season. No one in the Big 12 has looked like they're anywhere close to Texas Tech among the teams that they've played and the teams they haven't played. So even if Baron Morton is to miss a game because they're on the road at Arizona State in this next game, you'd be going up against a team that just got destroyed by a team you destroyed, right? So the defense is so solid, it travels anywhere. And you've already seen it travel twice at Houston and at Utah. So
it sounds like it's okay for Red Raiders fans to be like, okay, my team's legit.
Yes.
Now, where that means they end up, don't know. But they're legit.
100%. I would be, just the way that they look and the way the rest of the Big 12 looks, if they're not 12-0, I think I'd be a little disappointed, and I know, like, legitimately, and I think that you could never in their history could you say that about Texas Tech.
True.
And I'll take another look at their schedule here in a second, but Arizona State doesn't look as tough as they might have to begin the season, right? Like, even their games at Arizona State has won, they've been very close. Like, and with Sam Leavitt missing time, their offense hasn't been totally functional. And Texas Tech has just looked like a wagon all season long. So they're 7th in this week's AP poll. I might have them a little bit higher. Like, I know Alabama's looked really good ever since they lost to Florida State to begin the season, but Texas Tech has looked good all season. And you just saw Ole Miss struggle against Washington State, who UNT beat by 49, and Ole Miss only beats by 3.
Okay.
What in the world was going on there?
So you just mentioned a couple of different teams. I was going to say that Ole Miss, that feels like the worst winning performance.
That's so weird.
Of the weekend. They were favored by 32.5 points in that game. And then the Alabama-Missouri game, that's right up there at the top of most entertaining games of this past weekend, was it not?
Oh, for sure. And Mizzou ends up losing, but you do see they can be competitive against some of the top SEC teams. But you mentioned A&M's only played one road game. Mizzou hasn't left Columbia all season long, so we haven't seen them.
Is that right?
Nope. Their first 6 games were at home, and 8 of their 12 games are in Columbia. So haven't seen them leave, but it was a fun game. But you saw at the end, Mizzou's quarterback made the mistake, the interception, where Ty Simpson for Alabama didn't.
What are y'all's general feelings about Lane Kiffin?
Kevin, remember that time he did that commercial and he said, it's going to be a touchdown.
God, that was the worst commercial ever.
I think he's very entertaining as a podcast guest.
Okay.
I think he has a very good mind for what he wants offenses to do. Other than that, I think he's kind of a bum.
Okay. So this weekend,
kind of.
We'll talk about this more on Thursday. huge game this weekend against Georgia.
That's where game day is going to be.
But, yeah, and I know people always complain about that. They hate when game day goes SEC. I'm going to take you to cut number 12. This is Lane Kiffin responding to a question that he pretends to act like is a good question so he can get a sweet burn off.
Off the wall question, you and Kirby, two most, probably some of the more demonstrative coaches on the field. Who do you think burns more calories in a game, you or him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I walked by the TV and saw his press conference today, so it doesn't look like he's burned too many calories.
Damn!
Yeah, he burned a lot, Kirby Smart did, by getting that fake timeout against Auburn.
So, that was so freaking Bush League, man.
I recently saw the guy, and he's fat. He just said.
He goes, I saw him on TV today. Doesn't look like he's been burning too many calories. So, what did you think about that comment? But also, the gall of Kirby Smart, knowing how many cameras are in him, he clearly runs for a timeout, and then he yells, I was clapping for my team.
Yeah, that was such bunk, and that was at a time where Georgia was struggling to move the ball against an admittedly good Auburn defense.
Yes.
It's just, you know, for Auburn, they can't move the ball worth anything because Jackson Arnold has a very low ceiling that he's already
hit. Which you guys already knew.
Yes. Although, to Auburn's credit, they did score a touchdown in their game this weekend, and my Sooners didn't, so there is that for what it's worth. But
how Bush League was that move, and what did you think about Lane Kiffin's comment?
Totally Bush League by Kirby, and it's not the first time that he's done things like that, and the winning disguises that, but then you look at that, all of the automotive incidents.
Yeah, all the people that have died because of his football players.
That there's never really been any repercussions for. Like it's out of control in a way, and it's, again, you win a lot, it disguises it, but I don't know. Lane Kiffin is very entertaining, and I think he's perfect at Ole Miss. Like, I think that's the spot for him. So when they talk about him going to Florida or him going to, I don't know, maybe another, like Alabama, if that job were to ever open up again.
Right.
I know he was rumored for that last time around, but I just don't think that, I think his ceiling is a place like Ole Miss, where there are expectations, and he's having them win at a level that they've never won consistently before. But you go to a place like Alabama or Florida, and it just, it's so much bigger. And he's proven at USC and at Tennessee, I know earlier in his career, but like, he wasn't able to handle that then.
Right.
I just think Ole Miss is perfect for him. And if he leaves, that's just inviting another world to hurt for him.
Kevin, I've been looking at the fan text here. One fan text says, not sure of his name, sorry, but he's solid. Hope he's around more. That is Carter Freeman.
Oh, Lane Kiffin?
He's a pretty good head coach. You're talking about you, Carter. I'm giving you a compliment. Accept it, damn it.
Thank you. Fantastic.
And then from the 575, I understand why you guys have the Tuesday and Thursday tailgates.
Oh,
but
God.
Did you guys see Friday, G-Bag stole Carter for the Friday tailgate?
The Friday failgate.
Well, if that's...
Because that's how UNT happening? Played.
If did that's the
make,
case...
Did we make him so popular that every show now needs him on?
Just remember which host was like, oh, is that when your show? Oh, that's right, you're not on air. Just remember who said that, and it wasn't us.
That is not, Kevin is not part of my, actually, Kevin is part of my intro for that segment, just not saying that.
All right, now, maybe the biggest win of the weekend, it belonged to Indiana.
It's the best win of the season
okay.
so far.
So let's go to Kirk Cignetti, cut number 13, not feeling overly optimistic about how his team is playing at halftime.
Coach, you have preached composure, but we've seen your emotions come out on the sideline. Is that intentional?
What do you think?
You tell me.
Yeah, you can't let that go.
Can't let that go? Okay. What is your message to your team now? They
well, we
are up by three.
Jumping off sides. We got to do a better job of stopping the run. We got to quit laying on the ground on defense and coming back the next play, all right? And we got to play better.
Thank you for your time, Coach.
Thank you.
What just happened?
He's the best. And shout out to the reporter for just taking it, you know, punch by punch and just going back and forth with him.
You got
to
be prepared for that. And then I know this was not the most important game, but since Mark Sanchez has been in the news, best known for the butt fumble and now this, let's go ahead and go to cut number 14. This is a play from Bowling Green that was something.
Oh, my goodness. Maddie caught it off his rear end.
That's a pick.
That's an interception.
Wow.
We had the butt fumble.
And now you have the butt interception.
I love it.
Were you impressed by the skills it took to make the butt interception? Just
right off the butt cheek. Not something you see every day. And Bowling Green was down 21-0 to Toledo in that game, and they came all the way back and won. And
no doubt because of that play.
Absolutely. But did you guys know Eddie George is the head coach at Bowling Green?
Like, yeah, we had him on, and he talked about it.
Yeah.
That Eddie George. That was something I forgot. So we had the game on in here on Fan University last Saturday. I'm like, oh, there's Eddie George. And they were down 21-0. I was like, oh, there's Eddie George. And then they won. I was like, well, hey, there's Eddie George.
Same thing with Trent Dilfer. Oh, that Trent Dilfer. He was the head coach at UAB, but not so fast, my friend.
I like that they tried to sneak that firing in, underneath the James Franklin one. You know, the massive $50 million buyout and that disaster in State College. Maybe we can talk about that more on Thursday. But they're like, oh, yeah, Trent Dilfer, you suck too. Let's get you out of here, under the rug.
You get $54 million, but you don't ever get to watch sports again.
I have music.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'll go to the Mike Golic Jr. line where fandom was a mistake, and if I'd never had to deal with that again and I'm $54 million richer,
exactly.
I think I could live with that.
Exactly. Yeah, we will talk about that more on Thursday because I also have questions about Drew Aller and his pro stock going forward. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Thank you very much, Carter. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block, starring Corey Majors.
And the level of concern. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.